Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Joy Brown. Thank you for calling in today to be with us. As we always say, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a good day. We got a phenomenal guest on our show today, live here with the Punch TV studio, where our CEO is Joseph Collins. Again, we want to appreciate you calling in and being with us and listening to what we have to say. Today is Valentine's Day, so to all the single ladies and the ladies that are married, happy Valentine's Day to you. I thought this subject today would be a great day to start off your Valentine's Day, because I know most of you probably are going out to dinner. So we have someone on our line, a special guest today with us is author Larry Broussard. I don't know if you've heard of this guy before, but listen, he's the CEO, the principal consultant at Intelligent Technology Integration Solutions. He's a self-employed entrepreneur. He lives in Los Angeles, California, where the weather seems like it's always great, but it has given us a little rain and fire and storm. But this guy also is a U.S. Army veteran. He's traveled the world, and he's working in technology. But more important than that, he is a survivor. And I looked up on the internet, this is internet, it says it's the seventh most deadly killer in the U.S., diabetes. So I wanted to, I met him just going in from workout one day. I had some things going on with my laptop, and he was a guy, but more than that, I learned that he's the author. So I said, you know what? I want to bring you on the Pastors for Punch TV studio. And there's some history behind him. My dad and his dad used to worship at the same church in the 50s. And the name, when it said Broussard, I said, seems like I know some Broussards. I did a little bit of investigation with some people that I know. And I know this guy's dad. And this has been a long time, but ladies and gentlemen, get prepared to hear something that's awesome, something that's going to either change your life or either save your life or either get you on the right track or either prevent you from going down the wrong track. We're going to bring on the line today our author, Larry Lowell Broussard, and the name of his book is Chuckling the Needle. What does that mean? What does that mean, Larry?
Chucking the needle.
Yeah.
It basically means what it says, you know, for close to 15 odd years. Sorry about that. I was diabetic, and the last 6 or 7 years I shot up insulin 4 times a day. But since my transformation, I have not seen needles, pills, or anything else, except for when, of course, when they take my blood sugar levels at VA, and my blood sugar levels are always on the floor. So as far as it goes, I no longer suffer from diabetes.
So a question, were you, is this hereditary?
Yes, well, for all intents and purposes, we believe it's hereditary because we suffer, our parents suffered, our grandparents suffered. But I think it's more than just a hereditary condition. I think it's more traditional than hereditary. It's not something that we're physically locked into as much as we're just mentally conditioned towards.
Oh, okay.
And there's a difference.
There's a difference, okay. Well, I did put an introduction on our show because I wanted our audience to get a really understanding what really went on in your life. So it gives a very description of some of the 1997, what information that you received from your doctor. So prior to 1997, were you just a regular guy going on, eating like doing what you want to do? Tell us a little bit about that prior to you becoming diagnosed with diabetes.
It's hard to say, you know, how I sort of came on with the disease itself. I'll tell you, though, I did not pay close attention to how I conducted my everyday life. I didn't care too much about what I ate or how I ate or when I ate. My energy levels began to wane as a result, but I wasn't taking care of myself, you know, poor sleep, not much exercise and so forth. So eventually the condition caught up with me. And I guess that would have been, you know, back in 97, I would have been 40 years old. Mm-hmm. And so, the problem basically catches up with us when, as young adults, we begin to start acting like, now that I'm an adult, I can do what I want to do. And then within, you know, the next cycle of life, if you would, you know, with about age 40, you're coming down with all these conditions because the last 20 years, you stopped caring.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going to say it just happens with most people that way. Because, you know, our 40s, we start looking back and realize, wait a minute, if I was in my 20s still, maybe I wouldn't have done this or that, or I was taking a different path, or I'd have slowed my roll. But by then, we will have been conditioned into thinking, now I'm locked into this zone, and so I'm stuck for life. And that's how we tend to sort of accept it as something that's hereditary, when in fact, it's more just patterns and you know, bad patterns and habits that we failed to release.
Right. So after that 40, that 40 is, what is supposed to be, 40 is a representation of change?
Well, no, it's supposed to be the age of wisdom. You know, you can't even be president of the United States unless you're 40 years old. The idea is, you know, you've been an adult for the same amount of time as an adult. So you begin to see and understand life a different way. You know, eyes open up at age 40. And believe me, age is not just a number. It represents time and experience. And, you know, if you made it to 60, you know, you were blessed. You can't run around 20 acting like you're 60. It just doesn't work. You just don't know.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm looking at your book. And I looked at your experience, and I was looking at it. It says, on the morning of your 49th birthday, October 22nd, 2006, you was checked into the hospital because you was feeling miserable. And one thing that I took note of, it says, you were on your knees. Were you praying?
Oh, praying and just in pain, just wasn't comfortable. And even today, when I experience not just discomfort or just lack of sleep, I get out of bed and get on my knees. I don't trip. It's the best place in which to be.
Right.
So I was just doing what I would routinely do.
But it's
cool because it saved your life. Because I understand that when you were admitted into the hospital and they said, and like you said, because it was uncomfortable laying down, but I understand that you were told you were suffering from congestive heart failure. And if you would have laid down, then you probably wouldn't have gotten back up.
Exactly.
Wow.
Scary thought to consider, huh? But, you know, the Lord had his hand on me, and that was the thing to do. I'm glad I was brought up praying, because the thing that I did was the thing that kept me alive that night, to be sure.
So, today is Valentine's Day, okay. So we know that a lot of people that are going out today probably will be a little bit careless, some people will, about the eating habits and things like that. But I know we, you and I was talking, you said that is it what you eat, the combinations of food that causes the sugar, blood sugar level to not mix with the insulin of your body? Tell us a little bit about that, your understanding.
Well, it's not just like a magic formula so much as it is understanding your body. See, the most important thing that any diabetic needs to know in order to combat diabetes in their life, in their body, is they need to know their body. You need to know what it takes for you to get energy, and you need to know what happens when you overeat and so forth. And those kind of things only come through the proper diagnosis under the care of a physician. So that's why in the book I say it's important, you know, to trust your doctor. Trust your doctor for the numbers. Trust your doctor for the medication, and trust them to provide what you need, because your body is in a state now where it needs to be relieved. Let me see if I can explain, just take a moment to explain what happened in my body as I began to understand diabetes and how was it affecting me. See, what happened is as I began to just eat without caring, I began to take on more energy in the body, which is what sugar does in the blood. It provides the energy for the body. But I was taking on more than I needed. And so I wasn't burning off the excess sugar, and therefore it began to collect first in the body and then in the blood. Well, first in the blood, because your blood becomes tainted when you have excess sugar in it. And so it begins to affect every aspect of the body. Remember, even the Bible tells us that life of the body is in the blood. So when the blood began to have too much sugar in it, it begins to affect all your body, because your body's getting sugar instead of the real substance that it needs for growth and maintenance. So what happens over time, eventually your pancreas just shuts down and says, I can't deal with all this. Because we stack so much sugar into our bodies by way of starches, carbohydrates, and these are things that produce quick energy in the body when we need it. But that was good when we were 18, not when we were 48. So when we're talking about what is the proper meal, if you would, like today is Valentine's Day. And, you know, if things were, you know, under, let's put it this way, many people will go out and they will enjoy life, they will enjoy love and care and so forth, and we celebrate that, and it's a good thing. I don't see any problem in enjoying yourself in that situation. The whole thing is, though, we can't do chocolates and so forth every day. In other words, we can't eat like it's Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Right,
and that's the habits, and those are the patterns that people have. We eat like it's Thanksgiving every Sunday. And we eat like it's Sunday every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
too
much food.
Wow.
And that's why we wallow around. We don't walk around anymore. We wallow around.
You said we wallow around, huh?
Amen.
That's true. That's true. Yes. You see it every day. If you go and you look around our, you know, in Los Angeles and other states, because that's where we're living, it's just the appetite that we have acquired and is really unhealthy.
Joy, I've been around the world. I've been as far away as Angola. You know, I've been on four continents. And in North America alone, the obesity is just off the charts. And it's really because we consider it affluence, you know, living large, living high on the hog, and we're just eating ourselves into early graves. You know, people are losing limbs, losing eyesight, you know, and this is with the doctor's medication and with the doctor's diagnosis, with the doctor's direction. See, and that's because doctors don't care that you overcome diabetes. They want you to control it under their care because that's money to them.
Right, okay.
I'll never forget the look on my doctor's face when she told me that I was a diabetic. It was as if she was happy to say it.
Really?
Yes. She looked at me with a smile and said, you're a diabetic and you're going to have to become, you know, subjected to all of my direction. I'm putting you on these medications and this regimen here and this and that, and you're stuck for life. And I felt like I was sentenced.
Wow.
Because that's how doctors approach it. They're thinking from that point on, they got to treat you like a diabetic. And diabetics lose limbs. They go on dialysis. They lose sight. And so they're planning for that in your pain. Because they anticipate that
like
because that's
death,
what happens. Slow death. That's what they're seeing. And they're seeing that as a lucrative operation. See, where in fact, if we just take on a different attitude, you know, a lot of what I had to do was arrest my own personal feeling of hopelessness in my diabetic state. In other words, I had to have the will to change first. And then once I had the will, I had to have the belief, because the belief that I could change, because belief is what gives us the spiritual energy to even approach it. I had to have the will and the belief. And then I had to make sure I knew what I was doing, keeping in mind what the doctor was telling me, what the doctor wasn't telling me, what my body was telling me, and how it was all coming together. Within 11 months, the doctor said, you can't take any more insulin. Your blood sugar levels are too low. See, because once my blood got cleared, then it started changing and transforming all the rest of my body. When I was diagnosed as a diabetic, I was about 270 pounds. Right now, I'm 175.
Half of that person.
Yes. Yes.
So,
and people don't believe I'm 60 years old.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I've met you. So let me ask you a question, though, Larry. Okay, you come from 200 and something pounds. Okay. So, and you started off with your mind and what you believed that you could do. And in line with whatever was necessary for you to get off the medication and stuff and then get your body right. So what did you do? Will you change your eating habits?
I changed my eating habits completely. Number one, I stopped eating so much. Number two, I stopped eating carbs altogether. Altogether. I didn't take bread. I didn't take
no bread.
It's not a question of sweets, because sweets has sugar in it. Yes, true enough. But bread, we don't think of it as sugar, but starch turns into sugar when it hits the bloodstream.
Okay.
And so that's the heavy duty stuff. Wheat bread, it doesn't matter. Bread is bread. All of it is are starch based. See, that's why you know the five food groups. You know, three of them are the same food group in my book. So, and we tend to approach our meals like that. Imagine, we have rice with gravy and a biscuit on top of corn, and then we pack that up with fruit punch and Kool-Aid. And that's a regular meal. See, we can't stack up all of those complex carbohydrates like that and the sugars to top it off.
and they don't even, you know, then we go and relax and have a bowl of ice cream.
Okay.
We're just not doing it right. So I had to change my attitude towards eating. I had to stop thinking in terms of eating, living to eat. I started thinking in terms of eating to live.
Yes, exactly.
One thing people don't even know, your body doesn't need carbs. Your brain burns sugar, to be sure. But if you put all that sugar in your body, your pancreas will go into shock. And that's why people end up having to turn around and start shooting insulin. Because the pancreas is not producing it anymore.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. But it takes an attitudinal adjustment. Because we just feel like we got to have that extra piece of cake.
The extra piece. Well, you know what? I always wondered. Now, because we ate pretty good in our family too, but I always wondered, how do people find the room after eating a really good meal to eat dessert?
It's a mind thing. Believe me, I had mine. Mine's with Jell-O. And,
really?
You know, even after going to the big smorgasbords where you get, you know, buffets where you get all you can eat,
mm-hmm.
as stuffed as I would be, I would still have to find room for Jell-O. So we just pile it.
Jell-O, it's Jell-O. We're at home. It requires a package of Jell-O that you have. And then you have the water, a cup of water, right? And then how much sugar?
Well, you're describing what you would make at home.
Yeah.
We have no idea what they're doing at the buffet. Right?
Stop. Oh, brother. Wow. We're taking a big risk when we go out to eat, right?
When we go out to eat. We also take that same risk, though, when we just overindulge ourselves
mm-hmm.
in some of the delicacies, what we call our cultural delicacies, stuff like banana puddings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. And that's my weakness. I don't think anybody can cook a better banana pudding. But banana pudding, that got me in trouble. That alone was probably the main culprit. That and Snickers bars. See, but when we're eating and not thinking about what we're eating, we pile mm-hmm. all of that poison into our bodies until our body starts shutting down. And the only way to get our bodies to react once again is to cut it off. You got to stop putting it in. If you don't put it in the body, it cannot become a part of the body. And you won't die because you don't have a piece of cake. You won't die because you don't have rice and gravy. You won't die if you have just a piece of meat and a salad for a meal. You won't die. But it's hard to make up your mind. I'm glad I did. Now, here I am, 6 years removed from diabetes.
Mm. 6 years.
Yes. My last A1C count was 5.2. So people make their own choices.
Now, on page 11, I'm going to read something. Because I asked you about hereditary, but you said it probably has to do with the lifestyle. And it says, diabetes itself is nothing to fool around with. I was surrounded by diabetes most of my life. My mother was a diabetic and lived her last days suffering from Alzheimer's disease. My dad took oral medicine for years following his first stroke at age 59, although he lived to be 83 years old. His life was no pleasure in the end. My oldest brother was a diabetic. He died of a massive heart attack after diabetic coma at the tender age of 38. And my mother-in-law took insulin every day for over 40 years, and I watched her shoot up for 25 of those years, and yet she died fully blind in one eye, partially blind in the other. And I had one first cousin that died of diabetic complication, and another that fell out and died during a diabetic episode when he was unable to get to his medicine.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had a cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, definitely a crowd of victims.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be another victim.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So when you tell your testimony or when your family members see you, you've got to be an inspiration or some type of health record walking around for them to know that it's risky, you know, eating the way we do. So what do? When you go to family outings, you delegate things that you want to eat based upon what you see, or how do you get past that? And what do your family members think?
I throw down. That's what it's for. I enjoy it. 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, name it. I'm on it.
Okay.
Because I'm not doing that all year long.
Year long. All right. Got it.
So, I'm eating like I have good sense the rest of the year.
Right.
Because there's nothing wrong with celebration. And I believe we do a good job of it, you know, in our communities, in our families. We know how to enjoy a good cookout, a good spread at Thanksgiving. We're challenged when we want to eat that way all day, every day. And we have people, if it's not chips, it's a soda.
Right.
Or it's cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what piles up. No, I have no problem with enjoying the festivities of the season. And I encourage everyone going out. I tell you what, if they haven't been eating right up to now, it's not going to make a difference tonight. So enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen, we're going to take a break. And then I'm going to come back and I have some more questions. And I'm looking at your book that I want to ask you, because it says, what is diabetes? What is it? We know what it does, but we want to know what is it. Okay, so hold on 1 second.
Okay.
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things first? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, intercession, a coming together, a conversation, and giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority. Why? For this is good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence of God, our Savior.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
Now, Nabuki is one of our social media sites that we have, and we do offer our guests to take advantage of that, and I'll probably give that to you as the broadcast ends. But this is the Punch for Pastors, the Pastors for Punch TV Studio radio talk show. I'm your host, Joy Brown. And we have on the line with us Is it Minister Larry Brossard?
I don't worry about titles.
Okay.
You got to worry about titles. My name is Larry Lowell Broussard. I was ordained elder in 1994. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm not a kid on new on the block. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, we are so happy to have you on this line with us talking about your book, Chuckling the Needle. And it's been such a good topic because it's so much needed with our people and others also. But chapter two, it says, what is diabetes? Now, this is a book, one of the books that you have written. And if those of you want to know what other books that Larry has, it is on the show. I listed the books. I listed where you could find it, the phone number. He also is a businessman in electronics. Is that right, Larry?
Intelligent technology.
Okay.
It's more than computers nowadays.
Wow. And we have the contact information, but we're going to allow him to tell you more about that at the end of this broadcast. So just stay close, tuned to it, because we do have a lot more to talk about. Now, again, chapter two in your book, it says, what is diabetes? And you know one of the phrases I like? Mm-hmm. You know what I like in your book, what you said? You said, it's like the Roach Motel. Roaches check in, but they don't check out.
Yes. In case of a diabetic. Well, in a normal body, what happens when you eat things that have sugar in them? Your body, your stomach is a part of the digestive process, produces insulin, which basically attaches to the sugar and turns it into glucose, which is that substance that your cells need in order to sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. And the problem is when a diabetic eats sugar, it's like the Roach Motel. Sugar goes in, but it has no way to check out.
Okay.
Yeah, so it doesn't get absorbed by the body. So it's just floating around. It's like free radicals in the bloodstream. Eventually, it can pile up so much that it clogs your blood itself. And, of course, if your blood is not carrying real substantive nutrition and oxygen to the cells themselves begin to die. That's why diabetes is always associated with other complications, kidney failure, heart disease, even strokes, because where the brain does burn sugar, it can't burn all that sugar. And so when the body just stops producing insulin, you become a Roach Motel. You become a sugar Roach Motel.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's going in, but it's not going out.
It's not being absorbed so that it could be burned off. Yes.
Now, is this, and then I know you said like bread, anything that's a starch, it turns into sugar. Okay, and I know you mentioned about what we drink, because, you know, if you read the contents on a lot of the food, it tells you what the amount of the sugar and stuff it has in it, right?
Yeah.
So
more especially, go ahead.
So these numbers that you have on your book, it says blood sugar level 1 hour after meal is 100 to 160. Diabetic state is normal. And then it says 200 or more is hyperglycemic. And then, is that why we get sleepy after we eat?
Hyperglycemic. Yes, basically your body is going into its probably most productive activity of the day, and that's the digestion of food. So it's taking away from the energy that you normally would have to do everything else. And the main thing that is affected by that is the brain, because the brain trying to burn sugar is being usurped of its energy by the body who is trying to digest all this food. And that's why we tend to get sleepy. But a diabetic that
that eats excess sugar, it's like taking a sleeping pill.
Okay.
I remember I was at a function with a friend of mine, and we were both diabetic, and we were sitting at the table, and they started passing out cake, and these big sloppy chunks of cake with all the icing and then and so forth. And my friend looked at me and he said, "That got sleep written all over it." That has sleep written all over it. And I understood exactly what he meant, because if that sugar had gotten into my body, I'd have been sleeping 5 minutes as well.
Really?
Yeah, but it's interesting how we think that sugar is going to give us energy when we're feeling sleepy. Sometimes, especially in the case of a diabetic, we might be sleepy because we're hyperglycemic. See, and I was challenged with that early on, because before I was diagnosed, I mentioned the Snickers bars. I was pastoring in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania from 1995 to 1998. And I was driving back and forth from Arlington, Virginia, which is like two and a half hours away. And whenever I went, I would stop on the road and get the big double Snickers. I'd get two big double Snickers to munch on to keep awake.
Wow.
And I often wondered, why do I feel so sleepy after eating a Snickers bar? So I would just pile another Snickers bar down my throat and struggle to make it home on the freeway because I'm so sleepy. It was no wonder I came down, because I was eating wrong and didn't know it.
That is crazy. So, and you said frequent urination also? What does that have to do with it? What's going on?
Well, see, the thing is, the kidneys are trying to pull, you know, your kidneys sort of flush your blood. So it's trying to clean the sugar out of the blood and then constantly urinating to dispel the sugar out of the kidneys. So, you know, you find that you're drinking water all the time and you're urinating all the time, and you think it's a normal process when, in fact, it's your body trying to fight and it's doing its best it can. That's why kidneys go with that, because you're urinating so much, your kidneys are going to just they're being overworked as a result of your insulin, and your pancreas not working, all thanks to the sugar.
Okay. Wow. Amazing. So some of these signs that you've given us today is really excellent, because for a person that doesn't really know what it is that's going on and having these signs, now they can start identifying what it is that is happening in their body, although they may not have been diagnosed. Now, type 1 and type 2, what is type 1?
Well, I tried to keep it simple in my book. Type 1 diabetics are typically, there's some type of a very debilitating condition in the body that forces them not to be able to produce insulin. Or there's some other type of a disease that's associated with the diabetic condition. And as such, more times than not, type 1 diabetics must shoot insulin. And then the thing my doctor told me to make it simple for me was, when you were taking pills, you were type 2, because your body basically was able to do something. But when you go from type 2 to type 1, it's because your body is failing to produce insulin at all, and so insulin has to be administered. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's much more complicated than that, and I'm not a medical expert of any sort. But I did recognize that when I started shooting insulin, it really did make a better difference in my physical condition than taking pills. See, and the thing about those pills,
because the absorption of it is quicker.
No. I'm not just determining it from a scientific perspective. I'm just realizing that the blood sugars had to react to the insulin, whereas the pills were hit or miss, because you don't know, you know, how or when the pills kick in or what the resulting effect would be. You could only wait until you check your blood sugar again later. Now, here's the other thing about the pill. If you're what they call pre-diabetic, they will give you pills. See, now, pre-diabetic, pre-diabetes has now become a disease. And they're administering medication to combat something when, in fact, the medication that they're prescribing is causing the onset of diabetes.
Because
you start taking pills, all right, listen up. As soon as you start taking pills to try to circumvent or to supplement your insulin creation in the body, the pancreas stops. It says, hey, well, I don't have to do as much anymore because I'm getting this help. Because the liver also creates insulin in other parts of the body. It's a part of the digestive process. But we don't want our liver producing insulin. We want our pancreas producing insulin. But as soon as we start taking those pills, especially as pre-diabetic, we begin to shut down what the body can already naturally do. And we go right on into diabetes. The best thing a person who was told they were pre-diabetic, the best thing they can do is cut down on the starch and start exercising. Got to get up and move. Yeah.
Okay. So when you go to the doctor, of course, so listen, you're going to the doctor and the doctor says you're a pre-diabetic. Do you have to go on this medication or can you just refuse it and just take control of what you know you need to do? What's the best?
Well, of course you can take, either refuse it and take control. Because there's nothing, see, your doctor can only suggest and prescribe and so forth. But we make our own choices. Just like we make the choice to have that extra piece of cake, we can choose to have or not have whatever the doctor prescribes. We just need to understand what the difference is. See, when he's telling you you are a pre-diabetic, he's going to give you pills that are going to make you a diabetic. Because the pills are going to start your body to doing things that it's not supposed to do.
That's good stuff there, Larry.
Well, you have to be sure. It's in the book. But in the same time, we need our doctor's information because that's the only way we know when and how our progress is going. When things are changing and how it's changing and so forth. So I needed my doctor's information in order to know that I was actually on a positive path. But I wasn't trying to keep eating the way I used to eat. One of the things my doctor told me early on was you need to eat more bread.
You need more bread?
Yeah. And I thought about that. That's when I started questioning the fidelity of the information that my doctor was giving me. See, and I thought about it. My doctor's not looking at this to help me overcome diabetes. My doctor's is looking at this to help me to manage diabetes. And I didn't want management. I wanted to be over it. You're laughing.
Oh, my God.
But it's the truth.
So that's why you need to listen to your physicians, right, to see where they're coming from.
Exactly. See, we listen to bits and pieces of it, and then we'll hear only what we think is something that's must be done. But too many of us simply aren't paying attention to what's really going on, especially in our body.
Right.
Yeah, that's why the most important thing to know when you're really talking about any type of health condition, you need to know your body.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, many people don't. They don't know what it takes to go to sleep. They don't know what it takes to wake up in the morning. They don't know how much to eat in order to get the nutrition they need. They don't know the kind of exercise they need in order to sustain sound cardio and muscle strength. We don't know because we aren't taught those things. And then we look up at age 50 and age 60, we look terrible and we feel worse.
So you walk into the doctor's office and you're having these problems and they diagnose you as they take your tests and your blood work and stuff and then they tell you what they found. you're a diabetic, and so they start prescribing medication for you, which we know that's what doctors do. So you have the option, and it is good, I guess, to, is it good to go ahead now, wherever stages you are, to take the medication now, but work your way out of getting out of taking the medication? Would that be a sound decision?
That is correct. That's exactly correct. The way to start is right where you are. You don't stop taking medicine until the doctor tells you to stop taking medicine. But you can stop eating all of those carbs and eating all that starch, and it's going to begin to affect your body. The first thing that's going to happen is your blood's going to clean up. And then once your blood cleans up, it can start cleaning up the rest of your body.
Right.
Especially if you can nip things early. You know, if you, I'm not trying to sell a cure-all remedy for conditions that are so advanced only God can change. But what I'm saying is, if you're not in that state, then you need to gain control of this situation from a position of knowledge and attack it before it becomes a problem.
Okay. Listen, I got another question. It's going to have to do with your spiritual side that I'm going to ask this question, because I know it's something that's in my spirit to ask, but I'm going to take a commercial first and then I'm going to come back to you, okay?
Okay.
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that it is by design that we aspire for greatness? Don't allow fear or insecurity to delay the inevitable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 lets us know you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pastors for Punch TV studio. As you know, this show was, the objective was to allow our pastors to come on the line, give us a little bit about the history of the ministries and what they do. And this is a ministry. And I know a little history about Larry and where he came from for us on the spiritual side. But I want to ask a question, because I know a lot of times when we're in church and we have a lot of illnesses and we come up for prayer because we want a miracle, and we know God do heal, because that's what we believe. But when it comes to healing and come to an illness that we have, and after being healed, we're not willing to change our habits, how do you navigate our people into receiving something they're looking for, but they won't change?
Oh, that's a loaded question, Joy. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of those that could be critically discussed, you know, in a colloquial setting, and could probably stimulate some pretty interesting comments. Let me say this. I strongly believe and trust in God because of what He has done in my life, what I have been able to witness in my life. And, you know, the diabetes and so forth is a testament to it. Everything that I've encountered and dealt with in my life has been amazing. And I know that I've gotten this far because of the Lord in my life. Now, that being said, the whole matter of healing, it's a challenge. It's a challenging issue in the life of a church, period, because a lot of people come to church expecting only to be healed, when in fact, church is about life, not about healing. See, and the thing is, we have a saying in the Church of God in Christ, is one of the mottos associated with one of our connectional associations. It says, a child saved is a soul saved. plus a life. See, and all too often, you know, we were talking early on about young adults beginning to act like they lost their minds and start doing and behaving any way they want until later in life when these problems and conditions crop up. Then they want to run to church for healing. But in fact, they know better, but do different. Now, I'm not saying that God is not in the healing business. I'm a witness to that. But we got to be more sober-minded about our own life and how we're living it instead of putting God to the test all the time, living any kind of way, doing any kind of thing, and then turn around and expecting God to deliver us. I don't know what makes us think we're so important. If God heals, bless God. Mm-hmm. If God doesn't, know that what you're going through has somewhere or another to do with just how your life is to be lived. The Bible talks about think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to trial you as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. But then it goes on to say, nevertheless, don't suffer as a murderer. In other words, if you murder somebody, the suffering you're going through, you brought that on yourself. And all too often, we'll look at these kind of conditions like diabetes. You know, we want to wait till the day before we go to the hospital to get our foot cut off to call on God, when all we've done is reap what we sowed. That's in the Bible, too.
Okay.
I know a lot of people won't like the sound of that because they wait till the 11th hour to address things they should deal with early on in life. But that's, you know, lessons learned. We got to be more serious about life itself. And I can tell when someone is, when they begin to walk circumspect and think sober-mindedly about every aspect of their conduct in life. You know, people do bad things and do wrong to people and still expect God to bless them. That's not how it goes, especially when it comes to healing.
Okay.
I know that's sobering. But that's keeping it real too. That's keeping it real. See, and you have churches, you have mega preachers. They will take you to the cleaners because they can convince you that they have some special power. And that's it's terrible. They're pimping the church when they do that.
Right.
They're pimping God. And I frown heavily on that. I believe that God operates in us. Yes, pimping God. Pimping God. Yes, to be sure. And it's not a denominational thing. It's not something that one particular denomination or non-denomination does. They pimp God from the Catholic to the, okay, anyway.
Right.
The whole point of the matter is my Bible tells me that God is a God of knowledge.
Right.
And by him all things are weighed. So if God is a God of knowledge, and he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding, then I'm going to fear God, and I'm going to stop doing this crazy stuff.
Right. Exactly.
And then he'll operate in my life. That's just how it goes. That's how it works.
Okay. Well, that was a good thing. I like that, and thank you. And you do have to go to the Bible to get an understanding, all that get an understanding, he will direct your path. This is Pastor's for Punts TV studio. That was our guest, Larry Broussard. He is a CEO, principal consultant. And if you can just take a few moments and just tell your audience where you can be reached, how to get your book.
Well, yeah, I appreciate the time that you allowed, you know, you shared with me online. This is my first time doing anything like this in about 15 years. I used to be on talk radio shows on the East Coast. But I deeply appreciate it. My company, you know, my ministry is now is on the streets. And so my company, it is Intelligent Technology Integration Solutions, a limited liability company. I'm a disabled veteran business enterprise, and we make IT work. I've been working with technology for over 30 years,
And so what I've done is opened up a shop right here on 54th and Crenshaw, and I'm bringing technology to the hood for good. So we're trying to make a difference in our community. One of the things that I'm very excited about is one of our new capabilities that lets you get television off of the internet so you can get rid of your cable bill. And that's very exciting because now we're going to take that and brand it into a whole new business opportunity you'll probably be hearing about real soon. But anytime you have problems with computers, you need some technical support, you want some serious next level assistance and guidance in your own business solution needs, you can call It Is because we make IT work. I'm at 5348 Crenshaw Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. You can reach us at 323-348-4900. And our website is www.itisllc.com.
Awesome. In another book, you have The Overcomers, The ABC of a Positive Spirit, and Overcomer 2, The Christian Experience.
Yes. And both of those will take two shows to do.
Yes. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now we know what to do. You know how to recognize the signs that if you are a diabetic, you know, going to the doctor, getting diagnosed, find out what he's talking about, and then how do you handle the information that you receive is up to you. As we have an experienced book, a person that has gone through it and was chuckling the needle and now is free of the needle, that's evidence that God is an awesome God and he does give us wisdom and understanding. It was a blessing talking to you today, Larry, being on our show. And we do want you to understand anytime that you do want to listen to the show again, you just click on his Facebook and either mine's on Joy Brown or Join the House is same stream, the same audio, the radio broadcast, and listen to it over and over again if you didn't get the information. We are winding down to our last minute. This is the Pastors for Punch TV studio. Our CEO is Joseph Collins, and we thank you for joining us. And if you know anybody else, your pastor, want to be on our show, feel free to give us a call at 310-419-5914 and ask for Joy Brown. Have a happy Valentine's Day. And you be blessed. Thank you, Larry.
Take care. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I sure will.